My name is Rick Recking. I mispronounced my name, just so you know. As a little background, I was named Rick because my father's nickname was Rick, because he pronounced our last name Ricking. So, but I couldn't say Rick Ricking, so I said Rick Recking, and here I am today. This story took place when I was 43, and I know that because I went to Austin, Texas, and just before I left, I got my first pair of glasses since I was a child. And they were even heavier horn-rimmed glasses than this, and I had some curly hair at the time. People thought I looked like Woody Allen. Well, I never heard that until I was on the plane, and the woman sitting next to me said, "Do you know you look like Woody Allen?" And I said, "I never knew that. No one's ever told me that before." At the conference, people started calling me Woody. And then walking down the street in Austin, I passed a street guy going by, and he said, "Go back to New York." The outlaw. The understory thickets along the Colorado River and its tributaries in Bastrop County, Texas, are dense with a canopy of willow, oak, and cedar, inhabited by collared peccaries and copperheads. I was substituting at a conference in Austin on short notice. It gave me an opportunity to visit my college roommate, T.W., not his real name, a regular pen pal back in the days before email, cell phones, or GPS. His phone was not being answered, so post-conference, I dropped in on his mother, Maxine. "Ooh, you're driving a Park Avenue," she said, the woman born in New York. "Sometimes T.W. doesn't answer his phone, but you can drive out and see him. Do you know the way? Do you know the way?" "No," she said. "I've only been there when Karen drove me." Well, T.W. had once driven me there, so I decided to rely on memory and my orienteering skills to find him. Nothing to lose but some time. 30 miles out, I turned left on a gravel road at a ranch that looked familiar, and was rewarded when in a couple of miles I passed a fork and spied his gatepost, which sported an inverted terracotta pot. The gate was open. The drive's level, gravelly tracks became a twin-rutted trace from recent rains and the passage of heavy trucks as I entered into the thicket where the bright sun turned into a deep shade. My Park Avenue objected to the squishy mud and the rocks slapping off its frame. "Do they check under rentals when you come back in?" I thought. Who knew, but I knew I'd definitely have to run this through a car wash to disguise evidence of this abuse. Now I came to a stream. I didn't remember a stream. And I halted to look it over. There was a pile of gravel to my right, and it looked like some had been spread to carry the tread across the ford and up the far bank. There was no turning back now, so I floored it, sending twin fountains up the sidewalls as I breached the ford. Coming up and rounding a curve, his low-slung house, a cottage really, hove into view. Parked on either side were two white vans, and standing at their sides were men holding rifles. My friend T.W. stepped out onto the porch, and seeing me, his face a terrible mask, held up his hands as if to say, "Stop." We'd known each other for 25 years, and I could tell he was frightened. Behind him came a young Latina dressed as if for hunting. I lowered my window to say, "Howdy, I'm in Texas, and I'm dropping in." "This is a really bad time to drop in, Rick." I eyed the men eyeing me and realized that I just stepped into some deep doo-doo. "Patima," he said to the woman, "can you put Rick in your car for a minute while I talk to the guys?" As I climbed out, he said, "Rick, give me your wallet and keys." With them and my backpack, he headed back into the house with one of the men. Her car faced the thicket away from the house. Looking at it, I thought of copperheads. Long minutes later, T.W. emerged from behind us with my backpack. Approaching the older model Honda in which we sat, he opened the back door and put my pack on the seat, closed the door, and then leaning down, looked in my window. "Your cash is in the bag. We're keeping your wallet and keys for now." And looking past me, said, "Patima, take Rick to your house for a couple of days." And shaking my shoulder with a big, heavy, meaty hand, Rick, you're going with her. Don't ask any questions. Off we went, around the bend, through the stream, down the twisty drive to the gravel. Turning opposite the way that I came, she drove quickly, leaving clouds of dust, making some turns, backtracking with a sudden stop on a parallel road. She turned off the car and got out to listen for anyone who might be tailing us. Wait. Wait. All quiet. She opened the door, pulled a pistol from beneath the seat, and stored it in the trunk. I breathed a sigh of relief, and while she drove, I chattily documented my authenticity and friendship with TW. It was more miles headed southwest through Red Rock, where TW's former girlfriend used to live. How do you know Lisa? That was a long time ago. Well, I've known him since we were 18. Fatima knew Lisa. That was good. Suddenly, we were crossing the Colorado River, arriving in Austin from the south. In East Austin, she unlocked a chain-link fence between buildings and drove into a factory compound of some sort. Four buildings and a high concrete block wall surrounded the docks of a delivery area, a warehouse, a factory kiln. What I found was a sales room with a pottery studio, and a small house faced the interior space. Trees outside the wall shaded the house and the patio arbor in the southwest corner of the compound. She sat me under the arbor and promised to bring some iced tea as she carried a small bag into the house. I searched my backpack. It held about $200. A book, toothbrush, emergency socks, and underwear, what you'd carry on a plane. But no camera, no plane ticket. I could hear Fatima's on the phone, first with Lisa laughing and then with others before she returned with the tea. We looked out upon dusty walls. Sweat ran down my face and neck. Not much was said. Fatima was a potter, and for 2 days she taught me to work with clay in her studio while she also attended to customers looking to buy Mexican tile, pots, garden sculptures, or bags of clay. Helping with the pug mill and throwing clay turned my clothes and shoes into the colors of the walls. Trucks picked up and delivered clay products during the day. Two older Spanish-speaking men worked in the factory and ate lunch with us in the shade. I gave them money to buy us groceries, cervezas, and cigarettes. Fatima rolled joints in the evening. I slept on the couch, ate fruit and Mexican food, and whiled away my time incommunicado. Spanish language radio played music and news in the dust. TW reappeared 2 days later. He said the many letters and photos that I had sent him, he kept them all over the years, along with a call from Fatima, convinced them I was not a narcotic agent. His home was empty of guests when we went back to get the Pac Avenue. He asked me to never drop in again unannounced. Bastrop County was subject to a severe Colorado River flooding a few years ago, and I suspect that cottage was swept away.